At this time, please pray with me. Dear kind and righteous Father, we are thankful for this opportunity this evening to be able to share your gospel to a lost and dying world. We're thankful, Lord, for this medium, this technology that you've blessed us to have where we're able to preach the gospel nationwide. We pray, Lord, that your word have free course this evening. We pray for Brother Pugh that the things he has prepared, the things that he has studied, we pray, Lord, he is able to communicate your word, your gospel, in such a way that someone may ask that question, men and brethren, what must I do to be saved? We pray, Lord, that you bless us with the increase this evening. Please grant us another opportunity, Lord, to be able to plant and to continue to have this avenue of sharing the gospel at our disposal. Thank you for the upcoming speakers. We ask that you be with them, Lord, as they make preparation to proclaim your truth also. Thank you for the Highland Heights congregation. Continue to be with them as they continue to work hard to make sure this effort is possible each and every night. We ask this prayer in your son's name we pray. Amen.
We're very thankful to have everybody on the call. Thank you, Brother Flounder, and thanks to all who are helping us carry out this great mission. We are very thankful that Jesus has given us a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're certainly wanting to do that tonight. We are so grateful for our speaker tonight. We're thankful for, especially for those who are visiting with us that are not members of the Church of Christ. You are the VIP of our audience tonight, and we put this call on with you in mind. We in the Churches of Christ believe that the Bible has the right answer as it pertains to what one must do to save their souls. In the midst of a pandemic where so many people are dying, we know that Jesus has said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you can't come. We want to go to heaven, and we want to take all of our friends, family, and loved ones with us. So tonight, we encourage you to take your Bible, open it up, follow along with our speaker, and think about your soul's salvation. Tonight, our speaker, a friend of mine, Brother Matthew Pugh, serves the congregation of Grand Avenue Church of Christ in Syracuse, New York. And I had the privilege of doing a meeting for them 2 years in a row, and certainly a great, wonderful people, and a lot of great workers there, service there at that congregation. Brother Pugh will speak to us tonight about the truth about any church would do. Brother Pugh, will you tell us what is the truth about any church would do? Brother Pugh.
Good evening, all. I first would like to thank the ministers and congregation of the Highland Heights Church of Christ and all involved in Houston, Texas, with putting this gospel meeting together and abroad. Also, Brother Flunder for his work and labor of love in the Lord's vineyard as well. I am Brother Matthew Pugh, minister of the Grand Avenue Church of Christ in Syracuse, New York. Good evening. Friends and guests, if there is any question regarding anything that I say this evening or that you would that you do not understand or would like more clarity on, please feel free to contact me via Facebook Messenger or my email, mfpugh@yahoo.com. That is mfpugh@yahoo.com. And it would do my heart's delight to be able to get with you and discuss a portion of God's word, or either get you in contact with someone in your local vicinity that would be able to assist you in rightly dividing the word of truth. I am honored to be able to speak to you this evening, answering the proposition or the question, the truth about any church will do. I will answer this from the scriptures this evening. Many of us, I was putting this lesson together, I thought about a phrase, the real McCoy. Many of us have heard or used this phrase before. You know, the real McCoy, meaning that we want the real thing. The phrase, the real McCoy, is a phrase coined by customers and consumers wanting the quality product Elijah J. McCoy, a Canadian-born inventor and engineer of African-American descent, who was notable for his 57 U.S. patents. Previously, locomotive engines had to be stopped before necessary lubrication could be applied. McCoy's invention allowed engines to be lubricated while they ran, saving precious time and money. With this invention, there were many knockoffs that came about, copycats and imposters who tried to mimic the invention of Elijah McCoy. But these imitators did not hold up to the functionality or durability of Mr. McCoy's invention. So people began asking for the real McCoy. As to not be sold on any knockoff that would not hold up under their or the industry's pressure and need. The phrase, go to the church of your choice, is an American-generated statement that is not scriptural. It's not backed up or taught by the Word of God. God prepared a place for all upon earth to be saved, to receive instructions in righteousness, transform themselves into the likeness of his dear Son, to do good works, to give him glory, honor, and praise, and receive all spiritual blessings that are found only in his dear Son. God prepared this place. That place is the pillar and ground of the truth, the house of God, purchased with the blood of his dear Son. Before we get into our scriptural text for this evening, I was reading through the book of Daniel, and I wanted to bring up just a prophecy about the church, the Lord's church, the church of Christ, even from of old. In Daniel chapter 2, and I invite you to turn there, Daniel chapter 2, verses 41 through 43, and I'm just going to summarize what is happening here. Daniel chapter 2, verses 41 through 43, the Holy Spirit revealed to the nation of Israel and to us today, signifying when the kingdom of God, the church, would come into existence and would be among mankind. In this passage, Daniel chapter 2, verses 41 through 43, it gives us, it says, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven, it says, and verse 41 says, and whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and clay, and part clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. In this, it lets us know that the prophetic utterance here, that iron, here signifying the character of what we now know, which once was the Roman war machine or the Roman Empire that would have societal rule. And it says mingled with miry clay, showing, and God is showing that the time in which this was to come about, mingled with miry clay, the Roman Empire mixing with alliances with savage and cruel nations that they fully couldn't bring under their control, but they could tax. So they basically made these unstable alliances with them. That's that miry clay. This iron and miry clay mix was of man and therefore brittle. In verses 44 through 45 of Daniel chapter 2, the scripture says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand how long? Forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of a mountain without hands, and it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, and the silver, and of gold, and the great God made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. I would love for you men and women to look at the back of your hand if you have a ring on there with a precious stone in it. God is letting you know. He said this is a hewn stone. This is a cut stone, elect and precious of God. This isn't just a rough rock that God brings down. This is a prepared stone that would destroy all these kingdoms and put forth. The title of this sermon and statement that is put forth, the truth about any church will do, let me answer this from the Holy Scriptures. You know, just from the passages we just read in Daniel chapter 2, verses 41 through 45, lets me know I want to be part of that church or that kingdom that God said that he's going to put in the earth and that it would never be removed and it would stand forever. That's the one I want to be a part of. I invite you to the book of Matthew, the 17th chapter, and the verses are 1 through 8. Matthew chapter 17, and the verses are 1 through 8. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 8. And the scriptures read, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into the high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While yet he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." A few questions I asked myself as I began putting this lesson and this study together. You know, you remove whatever bias that I had in my mind or what have you. And I asked myself just 3 questions. Do all churches belong to Jesus, and does it matter to which one I am a member? Do you know who, when, and where the Lord's church was built? What significance does the Bible place on the only church found in the Bible? Well, in my discussion with myself and then going through the scriptures, I first put forth from my findings that only Jesus is qualified to establish a church. In the text that was read, that we just read, Matthew 17, Jesus is superior to every prophet and leader among man. In verse 4, the scripture says, you know, after in verse 3, he sees, and behold, there were unto him Moses and Elias talking with Christ. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. I want you to know that a tabernacle is a place of earth or of worship. You know, what we would call today a church, you know, or a building where that church, you know, those people gather. And God did not want a tabernacle, a place of worship, to bear the names of Moses and Elijah. Then so why in the world would we think that God is pleased with and accepts the organizations made by man, given a title by and not found in the Word of God? You know, Kojic, Church of God in Christ, Jehovah Witness, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Islamic, Buddhist, etc. Last I checked, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in the verses 33, the scripture lets us know that God is not the author of confusion. Malachi chapter 3, in the verses 6, the scripture lets us know that says, For I am the Lord. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, For I am the Lord, I change not. In Hebrews 13:8, the scripture tells us that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if God did not accept, you know, great men who had led Israel, if you think about Moses, he led the children of Israel through the wilderness. You know, God, through the mighty miracle of manna, was given to them from the complaints of the people, even sent quail into the camps, parted the Red Sea, destroyed the army of Egypt, all these things that God did through Moses. And then you look at Elijah. You remember Elijah going up against those 400 prophets of Baal? You know, Ahab's wife, Jezebel, wanted his head after he wrought this mighty miracle. You know, Elijah was the one who said, if you halt between two decisions, you know, if God be the God of heaven, go with him. If Baal, go with Baal. But guess what? When they saw the mighty works, then Elijah was given the order to go ahead and slay these prophets. We see the mighty works that was accomplished through these men. And guess what? God said they're not worthy to bear the name of worship in his name. So I ask you this evening, who changed? Who said that any church would do, God or man? Looking in verse 5 of Matthew 17, Jesus is the Son of God. The scripture says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Jesus Christ not only has the full acknowledgement of heaven, but he is the Amen of God. The Amen of God, Revelation 3 and the verses 14. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the bright and morning star. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. But yet, many or the world wants me to believe that any church will do. As I stated in Matthew 17, verse 5, Jesus has the total acknowledgement and the backing of God the Father in heaven. Matthew 17, verse 5. I learned also in verses 5 and 6 of the same chapter. Matthew 17, verse 5 and 6 says, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. You know, Peter, even in this presumptuous statement, thought he was saying or doing a good thing. And the Lord, and God the Father interrupts him to let him know of whom he would have. You know, before Peter could finish this presumptuous statement, this speech about building a place of worship to honor Moses, Elijah, and the Son of God, God the Father spoke, and they hit the deck. What does the scripture say in verse 6? And the disciples heard it, and they fell on their face and were so afraid. I remember once, as a child, shelling peas in my grandparents' living room. My grandmother had the screen doors to the front and the back of the house open for the breeze to come through, and had everything turned off due to a torrential rainstorm that was taking place. We were shelling those peas and listening to the sound of rain as it poured down, and out of nowhere, we saw a flash of light followed by a great boom. My bowl of peas went everywhere because my initial reaction was to hit the deck and take cover. A bolt of lightning got my attention, and that was my first reaction was to what? To hide, to my face to hit the floor, to get as low as I can to the ground. That lightning connected with a tree outside my grandparents' home. And this, I can only compare, the closest comparison I could imagine these disciples experiencing in verse 6, but far greater at the sound of God the Father's voice directing them to hear only his Son. When they heard the voice of God, guess what? They didn't capitulate. They didn't try to discuss it or argue about it. You know what? They hit the deck. They hit the floor. And their faces were in the ground. Why? Because that's the power of the voice of God. In verse 7 through 8, I learned that only the Son has the power to stand before the Father. What does the verse say? And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. No other man could do this. Everybody else was on the ground. And I'm reminded of the text of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 11 through 12, where the verses read, this is the stone. Remember that hewn rock that was cut out of that mountain that Nebuchadnezzar saw in that dream, and Daniel interpreted for him in Daniel chapter 2. Acts chapter 4, verse 11 through 12 says, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name, no other authority under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You know, you think about it, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus says that all power has been given unto him in heaven and in earth. So I ask you, where do men come with the authority or the gall or the presumptuous to establish houses of worship and say that it's okay with God? If God didn't accept it then, why would he accept it today? I ask you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Just something I was looking at as I was thinking about this topic and going through it and just seeing if is there any room for me to start a work? Is there any way for me to create a name and an organization and say I'm doing it on behalf of the Son of God and I'm going to bring people to heaven through it? Is there any way for me to do that? And I looked at Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and the scripture reads, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." Now, God has already covered several times there. There is no one no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book and look thereon. And what did the Apostle John say? And he wept. Because there was no one found, what? Worthy. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But yet me as a mere man or someone would say, oh, well, I think I can create something better than what the Son of God has just shed his blood for. Verse 5 says, "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof." Brothers and sisters, friends and guests, the Lamb, the Son of God, is worthy. Not Boniface III in the establishment of the Catholic Church, not Martin Luther in 1520 A.D., not Henry VIII in 1534, not John Calvin in 1536 A.D., not John Smythe in 1607 A.D., not Geno Jennings, not T.D. Jakes, not Joyce Meyer, not Paula White, or any other name you want to throw in the mix. Only the Son of God is worthy. He is the propitiation for the sins of mankind, the only sacrifice that could appease the wrath of God against sinful mankind. Only he. So, looking through this, so far, God the Father gave us heaven's best. Jesus Christ, he gave us his all. He gave sight to the blind. Christ fed the needy. Christ healed the sick. Christ healed the lame. He gave a voice and strength to the downtrodden and to the weak. He also gave his ears to the lies and the dastardly plots of evil men. He gave his cheeks to punches and strikes by reeds held in wicked hands. He even gave his face to dirty human spittle. He gave his head to a crown of thorns, his back to a Roman scourge. You know, this is a whip with nine leaves with bone and pottery embedded in them, which tore his flesh with every contact. You know, trying to inflict as much damage as possible on a man. they gambled and took his clothes away at the foot of the cross, gave his head to that crown of thorns. From his cross, even while being in agony, he looked down and saw the disciple whom he loved, and he said, "Son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son." And he gave his life for you and me. We all have the same Bible. It should be all asking and searching for, as we began this lesson tonight, the real McCoy. We want the real thing, not a knockoff, not a pacification for what mankind says. No, we want the real thing, what God has established. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in the verses 10, the scripture tells us, 1 Corinthians 1 in the verses 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be what? No divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." We should want the church that Christ established, the apostles and disciples were all members of, and the church that he purchased with his own blood. The only church that you can read about in your Bible, which was prophesied in the Old Testament and delivered in the New, Acts chapter 2. This evening, God has left simple instructions for one to become a child of his. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, God says, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as red as scarlet, they can be as white as wool." From that reasoning, God says, you know, we all must hear. None of us have known what to do until we first heard instructions. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith or trust in God comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. From that hearing the word of God, it produces belief. We must produce belief from the word of God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith, without trusting God, it is impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. From that belief, it causes one to repent. Repent is turning from one's ways, turning from the world's ways, turning from the organizations of man, and turning to God, only what you can find in your Bible, from the book of Matthew to the book of Revelation. Romans 16:16, the Bible tells us, "Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you." From that repentance, Acts 17, verse 30 and 31, when we make that repentance, that turning from the world and turning from self and turning to God, the scripture tells us in Acts 17, 30 and 31, that in the times past, in the ignorance of man, God winked at some things, meaning he allowed them to go, but he commanded men everywhere today to repent. From that repentance, we make that faithful confession that brought Christ death, but it'll bring you life, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. From that faithful confession, you go down into the watery grave of baptism. That is where your sins are washed away. You come up a new creature, and the Lord adds you to his church. Then we are to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, who is blessed forever and ever. Amen. 2 Peter 3 and verses 18. And we are to live faithfully unto death. Revelation 2, verse 10. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life." This evening, if there's something that has been said, to encourage you to grow closer to God, to examine the beliefs that you have held, I pray that you align yourself with God and not with man. Romans 3:4 says, "Let God be true, and you count every man a liar." And at this time, I thank you for your time and your attention, and I turn the service, this call, back over into the hands of Brother Brooks and Brother Flunder.
Thank you, Brother Pugh, and I think we got the answer. What is the truth about will any church do? The answer is no. There's only one church, and you've shown us through the scripture. We know that's a constitution of freedom, which wasn't written by God. But the scripture has given us instructions that the truth is there's only one church that will do, and that is the Church of Christ. My friends, we speak the truth in love. We're not doing this to be mean or to hurt anyone's feeling or put down other beliefs. But the truth is that if we believe that the Bible is right, then you must conclude that I need to be a member of the Church of Christ in order to hear God say to you on the day of judgment, Well done, that good and faithful servant. If you have questions tonight, we want you to please email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. If you're interested in baptism, you're interested in more materials for studies, we can set up Bible class in whatever state you're in. We'll make sure we'll get a preacher to you. You can do online Bible studies. We can make that arrangement for you as well. If you just want to know more, you want to listen to this lesson again, or any of the lessons that we've taught on this program since May, this gospel meeting has been going on since May of this year, and we want you to be able to go back and listen to these messages. They're recorded. They're on our website at HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And there you can download the flyers, you can download the messages, you can listen to them, you can look at our commercial. We also have a commercial that you can use for just texting. It's on our website as well, thanks to Brother Bash Bristow, his production. Thanks to GBN for our commercial that has gone global. And we are just excited about all those who are in attendance tonight. We pray that you'll continue to join us each night through the end of July. We're getting so many positive responses from the audience. And we thank all of our brothers and sisters who support us. And we pray that we're provided to you this opportunity during the COVID-19 to allow us to bring a sound doctrine preacher into your home for 30 minutes each night. We thank you so very much for joining us tomorrow night. Brother Tim Hayes from Pearl City, Alabama. What is the truth about mechanical instruments of music and worship? And Thursday night, Brother Robert Jeffries from South Haven, Mississippi. What is the truth about why should I be a Christian? And then to close us out Friday night, Brother Kenneth Jackson from Little Rock, Arkansas. He's going to talk about the truth about what is this thing called the second death? Oh, you don't want to miss these messages. And we don't want to. I want to tell you about all the other ones we got coming up throughout July, but I can't right now. We'll keep you on hold for that one. Y'all continue to tune in, continue to listen, continue to share, continue to think about this. Where will your soul be when you die? We love you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for our audience. Thank you for our visitors. We pray especially for those who are not members of the Church of Christ, that they realize what we're doing is simply providing to them your word, which we know is truth. We pray that they receive it with meekness, understanding that they have a precious soul and needs to be saved. Bless them, Lord. Bless all of our listeners. Be with us as we continue during the COVID-19 pandemic to send sound doctrine preachers into homes of our friends and family and loved ones to teach the simple truth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Tommy Brooks, thank you so very much for joining us. Tune in again tomorrow night, 9 to 9:30 Central Standard Time. Have a good night.